You are listening to Radio Today, your easy listening music station.
Hi, I'm David Severs.
Hi, you're listening to Harry Sideropoulos.
I'm Malcolm Terry.
Hello, from Michael Richard.
Hello, from Fiona Ramsey.
And if you're listening to us, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today.
Today, South Africans share their lives with you here on Radio Today.
Listening to Alistair Graham and Murray Learmonth on our programme A Place Called Norval.
Hi everybody, and it's great to be back on this Monday morning, and I know what we've got lined up, and I'm rather looking forward to this show.
We've got lovely people today, gosh.
Well, who have we got? With bated breath.
We've got Robert Thornton, who turns out to be such an interesting person. I wish we could have interviewed him for ages. I've also now looked on at his website, which is brilliant. His own website, full of interesting things. And then, of course, Nancy G., who we quite often play and will be playing again today, but she's started a whole venture called The Lighthouse, which is a lovely community thing, and we're going to hear about that.
Yeah, it is really it's a nice lineup today, and as you say, Robert, fascinating. He dispels the myth of the cattle calls a little bit.
That's right. Well, I know. I've been looking at that Melville circle, you know, our stone circle on the Melville copies, and of course there's so many possibilities about it, but it's nice to have somebody come up with a really good one.
I think it actually is excellent, and of course Nancy G, she's a brilliant singer, and I love what she's doing now. So without further ado, oh, and of course at the end of it we're going to tell everyone what else is on in Melville, aren't we?
Yes, and I should also say about the archaeology side to Robert Thornton, he actually does also do archaeology, but it's a funny part. He does glass beads in real archaeology, but glass beads of Africa.
Okay. Well, without further ado, let's go and join Robert. Morally, I've been really waiting for this interview because it's about the copies again, and I believe there's a whole different take with our guest today.
It's different, but they've always been traditional views. Now, we're with Professor Robert Thornton, who's an archaeologist of a whole different sort. He's a very generalist archaeologist, actually.
I'm an anthropologist.
Anthropologist,
no. But no. In some traditions, archaeology falls
That's
within
us.
Or
yes.
next to yeah. anthropology, so they overlap.
Okay. So, now, our stone circles on the copies. A lot of us tend to think they're not cattle crawls anymore.
Well, the cattle crawl idea has been around for a very long time.
Yes.
The original
Since the Nationalist Party
settlers,
days.
Yeah. Well back to you a know early time. Settler, yeah, Voortrekker days when they arrived, they saw these what they called ruins because they looked like ruins.
Oh. Now, they just never found any tall ones.
Yeah. Well, they didn't find Great Zimbabwe until they went a bit further north and into Zimbabwe, and they found Great Zimbabwe. But I think many people are not aware that we've got hundreds of thousands of these in South Africa.
Yeah.
Literally hundreds of thousands.
Depending on how
you,
as well.
They form complex patterns, and they were probably for complex uses.
Yes.
They were used for all sorts of things. They may have been used, some of them, for cattle crawls. Some of them may have been...
ones with the entrances, possibly.
Well, ones with entrances. There is a
That's
problem.
Right.
Yeah, ones with entrances. Ones without entrances are difficult to get cattle into. Another problem with the cattle crawl idea is that many of them are on the sides of hills, some of them on the edge of cliffs, most of them on mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's been with cattle know that cattle are very difficult to drive uphill. They don't like to climb hills, and they can be made, but it's extraordinarily difficult.
Yes, they have to be down below, really.
Yeah, and they want to be where the grass is, and a lot of the times, you know, these stone circles are not where edible grass is standing. Plus, there's no way to get into them. And they're built of loose stone. People have suggested that they may have been driven over the top of the stone. But another thing is cattle don't like to walk on loose stone. Across the road cattle grates that cattle don't. They don't want to step on open work things because they're going to fall in and break their legs. They know that. The cattle crawl idea. The village idea doesn't work terribly well because if you live in the bush, you don't want to live near loose stone. Why? Because the hojas and the rats and mice and, you know, all of the little, and snakes, like to live in loose stone. So if you've got food around and, you know, your children are going to be dropping food, then you're going to get the hojas, the mice, and, you know, everything come for the hojas, the snakes come for the mice, and you don't.
There goes the granary idea.
Yeah, you know, and there goes the granary idea as well. So, I mean, that's absolutely what you don't want. However, what you can do with loose stones is mark out a ritual space, mark out a sacred space, and that is what we see today.
And spaces big and small. I mean, there are very, very big ones, and there are
some
ones that
are extraordinarily large. South of Machadador, there's a stone circle that's 100 meters across. That's a very large circle.
Of course.
But then, you know, there are many circles that are a meter, 2 meters, 3 meters.
That's right.
Most of them 10 to 20 meters. And most of what you see today around Johannesburg, I mean, all it takes is a quick drive around Johannesburg on a Saturday, Sunday, and you begin to see people using stone circles to pray.
Yes, of course.
So people are usually dressed in religious gear of one kind or another, color gear, and, you know, they go out into uninhabited areas, and that's the key, out to the wild, to the wilderness, to the mountaintop.
Yes,
and those are the places where, A, you get away from the distractions of the settled area. You get away from witches and, you know, spirits and just, you know, sort of evil influences. And you're able to connect with spiritual values. I mean, that's why people, you know, go out to meditate in, you know, in the bush, on the mountain.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
kind of naturally lived there.
Sort of sense of spirit, you know, how to connect. So you go on mountains, you go. Now, the other thing you need to do is to define your ritual space. And that's done in the Southern African context with circles of stone. In the Mediterranean context, they did it with columns and walls, and that's sort of what we call churches today, Parthenon, and, you know, all of those. And those date back to Neolithic times. So the earlier religions of the Middle East took over the Neolithic forms, Judaism and Christianity, Mithridate and the various other kinds of religions took over those earlier forms, and finally Christianity took over those forms. So the forms continue, you know, up to the present, what we call churches. But they began, you know, thousands of years ago.
Yes, now the thousands of ago part is also very interesting for Melville, because a lot of people tend to think it's a lot more recent than it really is as well.
Yeah, it's very difficult to date anything like this.
Yeah.
Because it's just loose stone. We can date the stone or, you know, have a geological idea, but, you know, that's in millions, sometimes billions of years, which doesn't refer to when they were actually placed there.
So things like moss and stuff like that doesn't help you at all, does it?
It can, but then you have to know very precisely the growing conditions over that period of time, and unless you've actually been calibrating it. No.
So what's our likelihood on the Melville copies? I mean, very, very, very generally. It's probably not 300 years ago.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the interesting thing, you know, people often think of South Africa as having extremely ancient population. It doesn't. Actually, most of South African's population, the ancestors, very few people arrived 2,000 years max. There were Bushmen people here, Khoi people here.
And I believe one of the furnaces on the copy is from that time.
It probably is. Mm. Again, not enough work has really been done to date this. And earlier versions of carbon-14 dating They haven't been calibrated properly. It's difficult to judge exactly what they mean. You know, if you haven't collected the material under very controlled circumstances, it's also difficult to say what it relates to.
Now, what would you say these guys were doing on the copies? I mean, that this kind of links up with a system that probably leads up to the Machadodorp area, but there are a lot of these stone circles along the river.
We're going to have to say quite quickly because we're starting to run out of time.
Okay.
These circles run from, well, they're really all over South Africa, particularly in the high fault from Lesotho up to, right through into Zimbabwe and east to the escarpment. Not so much in the low fault. We don't find them in the low fault. We don't find them more or less farther east than middle of the country, although we do find a few. So they're all over the country. And Melville Kopjes is a good example of a ritual site, a sacred site, that has been used for a very long time. How long? You know, probably originally a couple of thousand years ago, more intensively from 500 years ago, and it's still being used today, even more intensively.
That's wonderful. I love this. Thank you so much.
Thank you
very much for coming on to
Place
of Novel. Thank you. In anticipation of our interview with Nancy G, let's listen to something, quite a well-known piece of hers called When I Woke Up This Morning.
When I woke up this morning, I was searching for my song. 'Cause my friends, they say I'm boring, and my lover is gone. When I woke up this morning, mercy took me by the soul. Through the wind, God's voice was calling on me. Child, it's time to come back home. Let me tell you that believer of good things, by grace a receiver, of the light of the love of the universe, and the blessings God gave to this earth. So I wake up every morning, and the world gives me my song, and the spirit that was calling.
Welcome to Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio, channel 869.
And you're back in the studio with Morale Amon and Alistair Graham on the place on the show, A Place Called Melville. Now, before the break, we were talking to Robert Thornton, and you know what I found fascinating about that interview is when he's talking about the stone circles, and he mentioned Machadersdorp. And if you go to Google Earth, and if you've been to the copies and you know what we're talking about,
I've been to Machadersdorp and looked at those thousands of circles.
Go to Google Earth and go to Machadersdorp and you'll see all the circles you're talking about. There are hundreds and hundreds of them.
Actually, there are lots in the south of Joburg too.
So go and have a look. It's actually fascinating to see them. But now let's go and join Nancy G and find all about the lighthouse.
We're with Nancy G.
Favourite person as well.
Yes, one of our most beautiful people, but she's also luckily one of our most talented, and this time we're not at the Ant. And it was a long time ago, actually, that we spoke to you. We're now in your own business at the Lighthouse in 7th Street.
And it's fantastic.
Thank you. Lovely.
It's a cooperative business called the Lighthouse, which is based on the idea of taking from the natural source or the original source.
Yes.
I've partnered with some farmers.
What?
That's right. Farmers in Honeydew, and they've supplied the food in the kitchen.
Oh, really?
And that kitchen supports the cooking staff.
Oh, wow.
As their own business to generate as well.
What,
so they design the menu, they share profits out of that. And initially we had tried to integrate some holistic culture, so things like yoga and stuff, but it's the street is so demanding in terms of business that we had to really concentrate and focus on food. So it's about organic food. We get our meat from Rayside Butchery, which is also organic free range. Yeah, and our prices are great. They're very affordable. Like I think the most expensive meal on our menu is 75 rand.
Wow, yeah. And I think I know about the food in Melbourne. I didn't know about this. Wow.
It's a very young group of people mixing art, music, and permaculture.
Great. Yeah. Heavens. So now, your side of it is the arts and culture side. And is there more to it than singing and songwriting and
things? On Wednesday nights, on Monday nights we have a comedy night.
Yes.
And then on Tuesday nights we have documentary screenings and talks about permaculture and making life whole. Because it's all about every aspect of life.
Yes. You know,
some people like fashion, some people like food, some people like, and they like to separate those things, but we need to balance those things.
Do you ever work with Steve Quinn and McQuinn by any chance?
Actually, he inspired us.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And the power of his art gallery
isn't it really
stunning.
Love it.
He inspired us.
Yeah, and he's such a talented man.
Exactly.
And clever man.
Intelligent. I love that. So he inspired us as young people to, like, kind of take responsibility for our investments. Because this has very much to do with employment and job creation. So the artists, for example, we want to use the upstairs space as an art gallery as well, so they can sell their work from here.
Fantastic.
On Thursday nights, we've created like
I see there's a very lovely dais over there. And everything seems to be very well nicely equipped.
Ready for functionality of the artists and people who want to sell their own produce that they've made themselves.
Yes.
We really support local produce.
Okay.
And
And now, what about your talents? Do you also get to be involved here yourself as an artist?
As a musician myself?
Yes, because you've been traveling all over Africa and a bit of the world.
You see, I think that I'm very blessed. I just need to, like, kind of hope some of that. it just keeps pouring down. I'd like to share it with other people, you know. I know how hard it is to be an artist in Johannesburg.
Of course, so.
And I think that if I focus, which I am, on my private career, on my private career, the way that it has been, you know, because I have a structure behind there, which is the record label, and you know, I'm working towards something. But this is about sharing. This is about all of us doing it together as a community.
So there's Nancy G, the artist in the record label, and there's Nancy G, who's part of this collective, who's making things work for other people.
Yeah, I'm not a record label. I'm signed to a record label. But yes, you're right about that. Like, there's what I want to do, and then there's what we need to do, actually, as a community. Because it's important that people know what each other's capable of, you know, like how you shine in your vocation.
Yeah, and it's important for us to be less greedy in the world and to be a bit more neighborly.
There we go.
Well.
Sure. That's right. So, I mean, like if an artist can come in here and make, on a Thursday night, make a bit of cash and they can go home and know that they've made their cash, you know, to get by and do that regularly once a month. Develop a healthy capitalist system.
Okay, well, I like
that. Yes. Said with feeling.
Yes. Healthy.
Healthy.
You said you epitomize that. I wish you epitomize the healthy part, and I'm sure the capitalist part to a degree as well. But also the people that seem to be working here all look pretty healthy too, so something's working here.
Well, we all love each other, and that's the important thing, because the system seems helpless and all we have is each other, and we need to work for that.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's nice that these young people see the vision behind that, and that they can someday own it as well.
And also I think it's super about the really good food thing, because we tend to think that when we're saving money that things have to come out of polystyrene. You know?
Yeah, and be of a lower quality.
Exactly.
And it's not fair.
No, it's not fair.
On humans.
It costs us in the end.
And when you think about it, there is so much, like, you can make so much food out of a small plot of land. It's dire how much hunger and poverty there is.
Well, think about a small plot of land. I mean, this is a small space, although it's a tall space.
It's a small, tall space, yeah.
It's a very beautiful small, tall space. And this is a kind of beacon, I guess, to show people.
Hence the name, the lighthouse.
I would think so, yes. Yeah. I mean, very nice. And I think this is a brilliant idea. And all success to you. What should people do? Do you want people to get involved in any kind of way?
As we initiate more projects, we just want the people to know what's happening. So, as I said, on a Monday there's comedy.
Yes.
On a Tuesday there's documentary screenings and talks. On a Wednesday there's drama club, which is where amateur actors and professionals can get together and just like laugh at themselves. Try it out. Our plan is to print out scripts and have them like practice their little dialogues amongst each other.
But it's nice because it'll be a nice, secure, safe place in order to actually make a fool of yourself.
Exactly.
Over some
wine and healthy food.
And it's a kind of inspiring place too, if you look at it.
Really?
I mean, you won't feel scared here.
No, not at all. We've had some people jump on the stage that were like, okay, you've got courage.
I think this is a brilliant idea. I'm so pleased we spoke to you about it. And thank you so much for coming onto a place called Novel.
Thank you again.
With this wonderful idea.
Thank you for the opportunity to showcase what we can do as a community.
Right, let's go and join Nancy G again, and a track from her album Offering, and this is called My Right.
Start cutting me. Hello from Subimboya, better known as Nandipa on Isidingo. If you're listening to me, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today. Don't go anywhere. Stay with Radio Today. Radio that delivers.
We're back in the studio, the place called Melville, Alistair Graham and Murray Diamond. Oh, we've got quite a lot of nice things to add to our list of things to do this week because of Nancy G.
That's right, we really do. But first up, and always a favourite, Bamboo
Farmers
Market.
Yeah, what were you
market.
Doing there this morning? I saw you there. Mm. No, on Saturday morning, sorry.
That's right. Oh. Well, occasionally I go along there and see what they're up to there. And they've really got nice stuff there. I got some of my favourite duck
pies. Oh, okay. Yes, that there. Is your favourite.
Anyway, they open from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And, of course, Melville copies. Now, because it's the beginning of the month, they always have a double take. Normally just Sundays. This time we've got Saturdays, and it's the dog walk. Melville copies West. Take along your dogs, not puppies, and take them for a walk. 8 a.m. Please wear proper shoes. The paths are quite steep and rocky. 25 rand per person, and bring water for your dogs, please. Sunday, it's a Melville copies central 3-hour hike. That's where you learn all about the copies. Park opposite Marks Park Sports Club in Judith Road, Emerentia. Adults 50 rand and children 20 rand. And this one, there are no dogs allowed. Now, as Marilee said, the lighthouse, they've got all sorts of things on. Nancy mentioned it when we were talking to her, but just to recap, Monday night is comedy night. Tuesday night, they've got documentaries, filmings, and talks. That sounds like it's going to be very interesting. Drama club.
Yeah, that along, sounds interesting.
Yeah, go along and try out.
And see how dramatic you are.
That's right. And then artist night on Thursday night.
Yeah, but apparently that's great. Now, we know that our sportsman of Melville, our soul, but wonderful.
Lucas.
It's Lucas Sotola has been doing good stuff in the APS Sydney International Open, winning both titles, and also in the Melbourne Open in Australia, also winning both titles. Now he's through to the actual Australian Open, and he's already done one round. Actually, he's done two. David Wagner defeated him in his second one, so Lucas Sotola is still number two in the world.
He's doing so well.
Our Melville man is number two in the world. Sure. Yoo-hoo. Right, now on Thursday, Love Books at 6 o'clock has a book, book launch, I guess. Two people, Dan Wiley and Rosanda Britz, have collaborated to do something lovely. This is the idea of this whole thing, is that humans and animals don't really live apart. And they've taken a whimsical view of the whole thing with pictures and poems and things. We know that we're the most horrible of all the animals. but anyway, we do have our place in the universe and on this earth. So this book is a celebration and also a bit of a commiseration, I suppose, as well. I mean, it's a humorous book. It's very beautiful. And the launch is most entertaining. So 6 o'clock on Thursday.
6:30, I think. Yeah, but it's you're quite right. It's humankind needs to look after the animal kingdom as well. So it'll be a lovely thing to go along to.
Did I say it was at Love Books? I must have. I hope so.
Mm. And for anything else in Melville, please contact 072-305-0281. And we're coming to the end of the show. Don't forget the show's podcast, available from 7 p.m. tonight from the Radio Today's website. That's www.1485.org.za if you want to pick it up.
And our next show features a great chef.
Yes, looking forward to that one.
Yeah. By the way, folks, he I think he's turned Alistair's dietary
again.
Life around. Again, yes. Yeah. After the leopard, he's been turned around yet again.
And that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.